Zena, I'll always love you.
Today, we took a walk up the street. We picked a flower and climbed the hill above the lake. And secret thoughts were said aloud. We watched the faces in the clouds until the clouds had blown away. And were we ever somewhere else? You know, it's hard to say. And I never saw blue like that before.
Welcome everyone to Zena and Uber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 84. This podcast show is for all the Zena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So welcome, everyone. Hello, and I hope everyone is doing well. We've got an interesting tidbit mix-up of information this week. So if you kindly bear with me, so I might just be all over the place as I usually am, off my wit's end, and get the information to you as best as I can. First and foremost, the song snippet that you hear on this episode is by Sean Colvin, and it's I Never Saw Blue Like That Before, and it was suggested by Vanessa. Thank you, Vanessa, for the song snippet for our two girls. So, thanks. Also, Vanessa wanted to put out a message for you in regard to write love on her arms, and that's the national day on November 13th. As you do recall, some of you might recall that I did announce that before on an earlier show, and it's to help those who are out there who are suffering from the affliction of cutting themselves and things like that. So it's called TWLOHA, and check over the website and you know, have a heavy moment's thought and prayer for those people out there who do suffer from that affliction. And as I said, November 13th is the National TWLOHA Day. So there you go. Okay, the book review this week, we actually have two book reviews. The first one is sent in by my lovely wench, Heather, who has gotten her life sort of in a different direction now, and hopefully for the best. And I wish you all the best on that, Heather. And Heather sent in the book review this week of, it's called Lucifer Rising by Sharon Bowers. And the review goes, in eloquent and lush language, Sharon Bowers paints a dazzling portrait of a woman driven to the darkest extremes of the human condition and the journey she makes to cross the other side. Lucifer Rising is a novel about love and fear. It is the story of fallen DEA angel Jude Lucien and the Miami Herald reporter determined to unearth Jude's secrets. When an apparently happenstance meeting introduces Jude to reporter Liz Gardner, the dark ex-agent is both intrigued and aroused by the young woman. A sniper shot intended for Jude strikes Liz, and the two women are thrown together in a race to discover who is intent on killing her. As their lives become more and more entwined, Jude finds herself unexpectedly falling for the reporter, and Liz discovers that the agent-turned-drug dealer is both more and less than she seems. In eloquent and spare language, author Sharon Bowers paints a dazzling portrait of a woman driven to the darkest extremes of human condition and the journey she makes to cross to the other side. So that was Heather's book review, and I thank you, Heather, for that. I really appreciate that. And then also, I'm going to do a book review. Woohoo! Aren't you just so excited? Not, I can tell that. But anyway, the book review I'm going to do is actually a book that I won on the Mary D's auction website that I talked to you guys about last time. And I finally got my book, and it is a signed copy from Veda Foster, the author. And it's called The Sea Captain and the Lady. And I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I was sad that it was so short, to be quite honest. I wanted a novel. I wanted something that I could sink my teeth into for like 300-500 pages. I'm just that sadistic. But I really did enjoy this story. It weaves and it blends a little bit, but it's very straightforward, and the characters are really, really good. And this is what it reads. It says, "The Caribbean is the latter part of the 17th century and into the 18th century is under pirate rule. To maintain his claim on the islands, the King of England appoints Lord John Hume as governor of the Bahamas. Hume, along with his wife and daughter Abigail, set sail. Colleen Edwards, daughter of an English privateer, meets Abby while on an errand for her father. An immediate bond forms between the two women, and the infrequency of their contact leaves them both hungry for a more permanent arrangement. When Abby is captured and held for ransom by the notorious pirate Jack Rackman, Colleen and her father set out to rescue her, but when Charles Edwards is wounded, Colleen continues on the quest alone. If she can succeed in freeing the woman she loves, will it be possible for the two of them to create a life together?" So, that's The Sea Captain and the Lady, and that review's by me. Okay. The movie review this week was sent in to me by my movie wench, Pam.
God love you, Pam.
And she sent in actually a movie that's actually out in the theaters right now. And it'll be out from October 2009 to January 2010. And the movie trailer, you can check it out on hannahfree.com. So that's hannahfree.com. And of course, as always, anything that I say on the show will be on my blog spot, so that you can go over there and link onto it and read on. But here, I'm going to read to you what the movie review has to say. It stars Sharon Gless, who is Burn Notice, Queer as Folk, Cagney and Lacey, stars in this passionate lesbian drama, Hannah Free, a new film about a lifelong love affair between an independent spirit and the woman she calls home. Hannah, Sharon Gless, and Rachel, Maureen Gallagher, grew up as little girls in the same small Midwest town, where, under traditional gender expectations, eventually challenged their deep love for one another. Hannah becomes an adventurous, unapologetic lesbian, and Rachel, a strong but quiet homemaker. Weaving back and forth between past and present, the film reveals how the women maintain their love affair despite a marriage, a world war, infidelities, and family denial. Hannah Free is directed by Wendy Jo Carlton and written by Claudia Allen, based on her acclaimed stage play. The independent film, shot entirely in Chicago, also stars Taylor Miller, All My Children, and Maureen Gallagher, Anna Hageman, Kelly Strickland, and Jackie Jackson. The film is produced by Ripe Fruit Films, and executive producers are Tracy Bain and Claudia Allen. To the producers are Sharon Gless, Sharon Zurich, also the film's editor, Marty Morrow, also the film's music director, and Wendy Jo Carlton. Director of photography is Gretchen Warthen. So, check it over. It's at hannahfree.com, and I'll have a link on my show notes for you. Alright, we've got the Lucy and Renee update news now. Alright, first and foremost, let's start over with Renee O'Connor's new update. Well, as you know, most of you would know, if you've got the Rock Fan Club, you've joined the Rock Fan Club, that you go there and you pay an annual fee, and you you get a newsletter with the latest updates and information. It's no longer free now. You do have to pay a monthly subscription. I think it's like $10 a month, and then you have full access. But you do have the latest news free. And over on the latest news, she's updated it from back in September. And the first thing says is, "Words Unspoken will be playing at the Dallas Video Festival on Saturday, November 7th at 7 p.m. So those of you out in Dallas, you get to enjoy that. The second thing that she has announced is that she says here in the November newsletter, "The fall season is upon us, and as you pull on a sweater and look for your turkey recipes, think about a few of the questions we have presented in our current newsletter. What is your life's purpose? Where do you find fulfillment? And what do you do with the gift of opportunity?" Sheila Callaghan from United States of Tara, the writer, and Dawn Higginbotham from Off the Ledge, writer-producer, joined me this month. They are both professional creative writers who hope to inspire many of you. I hope you can watch all our videos in one sitting and find that there are questions will resonate with you long after the videos are over. Enjoy, and my best for you, Renee. Then over in the Lucy News, as most of you both all should know by now, those of you attending the concert into the convention in 2010, that it has been announced that Renee and Lucy will both be in attendance. You lucky little devils. So if you haven't heard about that, well, congratulations, you do now. But they will be attending. It has been confirmed. You can go over at, it's over at the creationentertainment.com. And it says Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor headlining the Xena 2010 convention. Lucy and Renee will do their duo spot on Friday, and Lucy will do her solo spot that day. Renee would do her solo spot on Sunday as well as her photo ops and autographs. So congratulations to all of you in attendance who will be attending or who have tickets to go and see this. You get to enjoy a lot of good things. There are also other people who will be in attendance aside from them, but obviously those are the two that we're more concerned about. But we do have that there will be, I think, David Franklin, Adrian Wilkinson, who Eve Livia, as most of you know, Hudson Lake, she's going to be appearing there on Friday, who is Callisto, Brittany Powell, who was Xena's Brunhilde, appearing on Saturday, Musetta Vander, who's Xena's Ilianis, appearing on Saturday, Paris Jefferson, who is Athena, appearing on Saturday, Gina Torres, who was Cleopatra, and quite a few different things as well. Victoria Pratt, who everybody knows was Cyan, and she's appearing on Sunday, and Jennifer Skye, who was Xena's Amaryllis, appearing on Sunday. So there's quite a few people in attendance, so good on you who have tickets to enjoy. And for those of us who are on the other side of the world and are not going to be able to attend, grumble, 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 grumble. My thoughts are with you, and if you want, you can always send me a little postcard. I don't mind. And speaking of having a little laugh fit, I am going to tell you about what's been going on with me. Well, as you all know, I have not been running, so now that I'm about ready to pull my own skin off and climb the walls, I'm just jumping through my skin. I just need to get out and go running. Hopefully tomorrow I'll get the au clear from the physio and be able to go running. The funny part is that it's not an issue of injury now, it's the issue of the nerves. And as I was telling one of my other listeners, that I'm the only person I know that can get on our own nerves. And you gotta have a true talent for that. I gotta be honest with you, really do. Not everyone can get away with saying that, you know, hey, I got on my own last nerve or two nerves. But it's also the fact that, you know, you know you're in trouble when you get busted, you caught doing something that you shouldn't have. And it's like, uh-oh. And I knew I shouldn't have gone running because my leg was starting to hurt a little bit more and a little bit more. And it's like, ow, literally that pain in the, you know what, in the little butt there. And so my lovely partner decided to get very creative and down and dirty and hide my running shoes. Like, that's just cruel. That's just plain down cruel. So regardless of how much I wanted to, it wasn't going to happen. So if I get the all clear tomorrow, and she will call. I know she will call and follow up and just to see if I did it and didn't get the clear. And then I might get my running shoes back and be able to go out running. So that's sad. It really is sad if you look at it. But yeah, so that's that's the only exciting thing going on. And the mere fact that now if and when I do start running, which I know I will, I'm going to have to start getting up at like 5 in the morning instead of waiting and running in the afternoon, because right now we're sitting in the average temperature right now is running at 33 Celsius, which is some godly, you know, somewhere like 95 degrees, and like 92 degrees outside right now, and there's just no way that I'm gonna go running in blazing sun at 92 degrees and go and run for 4 or 5 or 6 miles depending on when I'm running. It's just not, it's ludicrous. So I'm going to have to start getting up early in the morning, wherein it's still cool and enjoying that, which means I have to actually go to bed early and get up early. And I'm not that... I'm a night owl. I'm literally... I guess I'm a vampire. I'm... well, for all intents and purposes, we're not going down there. But, I don't like getting up in the mornings. I'm a night person. I'm... You know, I can stay up late and rise late, but... Mm-mm, don't get me up early. Forget it. You take your own life into your own hands. Which Julie found out really early on in our relationship. Just don't, don't try and wake me up first thing in the morning. It's almost dangerous to your life. But anyway. So, I'm sure the rest of you are sitting there going, yeah, but we're dying of cold temperatures. Well, remember when I said a while back, I'd be freezing and you guys would be enjoying the heat? Well, it's my turn now. So, sympathy levels are, But anyway, let's get on with the show, get into it, and I hope everyone's enjoying it. So, here we go.
Come and get.
A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. And we continue on with the second half of part 5. Bugs were fun. Dory crawled underneath some thick leaves, hot in pursuit of a pretty bug, a red one with dots. She clambered over a big root and tumbled down the other side, then slapped a hand over the frantic crawling bug and secured it.
Gotcha!
She lifted her hand closer to her face and peered cautiously between her fingers. She heard someone calling her name, but it wasn't Boo or Mama, so it didn't count. She put the bug down and watched it crawl, then picked it back up again. She didn't put it in her mouth. Legs tickled, and she didn't like that. She heard a noise, and then made her put the bug down and crawl off to investigate. It was too low for her to walk, but crawling was good too, especially since it was mud. Mud gushed. She liked that. Mama didn't like that, but Boo did. Dory knew. Boo made believe she didn't, but Dory knew better. She wished Boo and Mama were here now. Grandma was okay, but she missed Mama's voice and the nice way Boo smelled. She missed flying. Dory scowled and looked for the noise. She saw a green rope moving away and climbed after it, reaching out her hand and grabbing the end of the rope as it disappeared. It moved. Dory's eyes widened and she pulled back, feeling the rope squiggle and squirm inside her fingers.
Back!
She yanked her hand back, and the rope came all the way loose, dropping onto top of her legs. Someone called her name again, but it still wasn't Boo or Mama, so it still didn't count. The rope was now squiggling around on top of her, and she let it go, then grabbed the front end with the eyes, pulling it closer for her to look at.
Emno!
The rope's mouth opened up, and it stung its tongue out at her, like Mama did. Dory stung her tongue back out. Mama always laughed when she did that, but the rope didn't. It writhed and wrapped around her hand. Dory scowled at it, and then she heard another noise, and looked around, surprised to see another something looking back at her.
Emno!
She pointed at it. It had a small, nasty face and a skitty body, and it growled at her. Dory growled back. Guff never liked that.
Go!
She pointed again, imperiously. The Aminal got mad at her and showed its teeth. That wasn't good. Dory didn't like that, because when Guff did it, he was going to bite. Guff never bit her, but Guff bit other things, and Dory knew what he looked like when he did it. The Aminal came closer, showing its teeth again. Dory wondered what to do. She could get up and run away. She could stay. She could fight with the Aminal. The Aminal growled and came closer. What would Boo do? Dory got to her feet and ran at the Aminal, yelling at the top of her voice, waving the rope in her other hand. The Aminal squeaked and ran, dashing off into the bushes and disappearing real fast. That was good. Dory giggled. She wished Boo were here, because she knew Boo would hug her.
Dory!
Dory turned around. Poo-Poo was here.
There was Aminal,
she told her.
It was mad.
I'm mad, you little...
Poo-Poo was wet and covered in mud, so Dory didn't understand what her problem was.
Get over here. Give me that. What do you have in your... Hello, you!
Dory watched Poo-Poo fall over, making funny faces and throwing the rope around in her hands. It was funny. She giggled, then looked around to see what else she could find.
Are you sure this is a good idea?
Micah whispered as he crept along behind Zena, who was sidling behind the wagon, rumbling off away from the boat.
No.
Zena concentrated on staying relatively unseen. She watched them unload 30 or 40 adult slaves, who were put in chains and shoved down a back street away from the docks, and had almost decided to follow when they'd thrown the next load of cargo off the vessel. Children. Xena had watched in horror as 12 or 13 young boys and girls stumbled out into the sunlight, shading their eyes from the brightness as though they had been held under the docks the entire voyage. They were dressed in filthy rags and were covered in bruises, and it had been all Xena could do to sit there while they were tossed into a rough wagon and driven away. She didn't want to watch. She wanted, she fully acknowledged, to have her sword in her hand and to ride down those bastards and break the wagon into tiny pieces of kindling. However, she was unarmed and unhorsed and crippled, so there had to be, in this case, a plan B. Plan B was to follow the wagon and see where it went, so that's where they were doing now. The horses pulled the cart slowly enough, and the driver didn't really seem to care if he were noticed or not, so she kept to the shadows and limped after it until it turned into a gated courtyard. Two guards opened the gates and let the wagon in, then closed them again and stood with their backs to the wood, hands folded, and knowing eyes scanning the area. Xena waited behind a terracotta alcove, just watching.
"Well, guess that's the end of that,"
Micah murmured.
"Can't do much for them if they're in there, right?"
Pale blue eyes studied the building. Then Xena pushed off from the wall and started up the sloping street, right past the guarded gates. Uphill was tough on her leg, but she kept on, letting her eyes fall briefly on the guards and seeing the looks of amused pity on their faces. That alone almost got them in serious trouble, but the warrior held her temper and struggled on, turning the corner at the top of the street and pausing to rest. Then she angled down the side street, which was bordered by a high, whitewashed wall of stone.
"Perhaps a cart now?"
Michael asked, with gentle sympathy. Xena stopped again and leaned against the wall.
"All right," she exhaled. "We can get a cart."
"Good." The boy smiled at her, then turned to head off and summon one. Xena hauled him back.
"Just one thing first." She held out a crutch. "Hang on to this for a minute."
Puzzled, Micah took the crutch from her.
"Of course, but..."
He stared at her. Xena had turned and was studying the wall. She flexed her hands and crouched slightly on her good leg before she surged upward, her body uncoiling like a big cat's as she sprung up over her own height, catching the top of the wall with both hands.
"Great Zeus,"
Micah whispered. Xena waited for her body to settle. Then she pulled her body upward, using sheer strength alone, and gained the top of the wall, balancing on her stomach as she peered over. Her eyes took in a sight that sickened even her hardened senses. The courtyard inside was ringed with mean cages, each one containing one or two children. As she watched, the wagon was unloaded, and the newcomers were herded into a small pit-like area. Then a few roughly dressed men took buckets of water and dumped them over the frightened waves, yelling at them and pushing them to the floor as they tore the rags off their bodies. Xena felt her body coil, every muscle tensed as she fought down her instincts, and it occurred to her that she was having to do more and more often here. She decided she didn't like it.
"Xena,"
Micah hissed,
"someone's coming."
The warrior scanned the courtyard, memorizing details.
"Fast or slow?"
Micah peered down the street.
"Fast."
"They see us?"
"Yeah."
Micah glanced anxiously.
"I think you better get down. They're going to be here really soon."
"Blonde?" Micah blinked.
Yes.
"Woman? Good looking? Runs like a badger?" Another blink.
"How did you know that?"
"I have many skills," Xena replied, noticing a small grate near the bottom of the wall on the other side.
"What should I do?"
Micah asked in a hoarse whisper.
"Get out of her way," Xena replied blithely. "If she runs into you, it's gonna hurt."
She lifted herself up off the wall and pushed away, twisting in midair and only just remembering to land on one leg just as Gabrielle skidded to a halt, scattering shale chips all over both of them. She put out a hand to stop the bard, who was unable to stop sliding and slammed into her. Xena's shoulders hit the wall with a thump, and she grunted as the air was forced out of her lungs. She looked down at the sweaty, out-of-breath Amazon queen in her arms.
"Tough day at the academy?"
A shout interrupted them, and they turned to see a body of Athenian guards rushing towards them, swords drawn.
"Uh-oh,"
Gabrielle exhaled.
"I think we're in trouble."
"Now just hold on,"
Xena put herself between the angry guard captain and her soulmate. What's this all about? They were alone, since she'd sent Micah off running as the soldiers approached, figuring it lessened the complications.
Ma'am, I'll ask you once to move out of the way, and let me take this woman into custody.
The captain stated.
What this is about is none of your business.
He's right. Let me...
Xena just turned her head and pinned the bard with a glare.
He's right. You're none of my business?
Prudently, Gabrielle shut up, folding her arms over her chest and wrinkling her nose a little.
That's what I thought.
Xena turned back to the captain.
What'd she do?
The guard captain had watched this, and his attitude moderated from annoyed to wearily thoughtful.
She belonged to you?
Yes. Xena didn't turn around, especially since her sense of hearing easily picked up the sound of steam curling out of her partner's adorable pink ears. Now, you gonna tell me what happened, or do I have to go lodge a complaint with your boss? She limped forward and got into the guard's face, making the most of her nearly hand-span height advantage.
Then you're the one who'll be taking in,
the man replied coolly.
'Cause your slave broke up 6 market stalls and made the city's prelate's cart overturn and dumped him into the midden channel.
Xena turned and looked at Gabrielle, her eyebrows climbing into her hairline.
I was in a hurry,
Gabrielle told her through gritted teeth.
Now, will you be coming with us, ma'am, or will I have to have you bound?
The guard captain inquired.
Neither.
Xena leaned on a crutch. For one thing, there aren't enough of you to even start the process, and for another, we both know it's a matter of dinars. So how many's it going to take to get you to walk back down that road and let me get on with my business?
The guard captain cocked his head and regarded her.
Xena returned his look with quiet confidence. Then the man turned to face his waiting troops. Xena tensed, suspecting a bluff was about to be called.
Bring the cart,
he turned back to her.
You will come with us, or I will have them shoot you. Choose quickly.
Xena felt rather than saw Gabrielle stiffen behind her, and suspected the next thing she'd see was the bard's back as she got in front of her.
All right,
she made the decision quickly. We'll go with you. She held out a hand to block Gabrielle's advance, and found her arm circled with very warm fingers.
Good choice,
the guard captain said.
Bethes, your crossbow, please. Guard them until the cart comes.
Xena,
Gabrielle hissed.
What in the Hades are you doing?
The warrior glanced at her.
Relax, she murmured. We can straighten this out once we get to the prefix office.
She looked up as a covered cart rambled closer, pulled by 2 large, gray geldings.
Besides, her eyes flicked up the hill. I wasn't looking forward to getting back up that thing. God!
Gabrielle exhaled, leaning her head against the warrior's shoulder briefly.
You scared the poop out of me, Xena. What happened?
She asked.
I felt like my insides were coming out my ears.
Xena was saved from answering by the guard directing them into the cart. She climbed awkwardly up after Gabrielle and settled into the straw as the door was slammed behind them, leaving them in the dark, heated mustiness. The cart started up with a creak, and she let her body relax against the boards, glad to be off her feet at least. The long morning's walk had taken more out of her than she figured.
Z?
Gabrielle's voice came hesitantly out of the gloom as the bard's fingers curled around her hand. Xena turned her head and regarded her partner, finding a look of pained curiosity facing her.
Oh.
She drank into familiar contours.
It wasn't anything that happened, Gabrielle. I was just remembering something that wasn't very pleasant.
Gabrielle gazed steadily at her.
You were hurting,
she said.
I felt it.
The irony stung, and Xena had to let her eyes drop.
It's in the past. No sense in bringing it up again, she said.
The bard stayed silent, the lack of sound making a larger statement than any words could have. Xena felt sweat roll down her temple, and she sighed, knowing her choices in this were so limited as to be non-existent. They'd learned the hard way the truth between them was only way, despite the pain it often caused, and she knew refusing to answer would do more damage than just saying what the problem was.
I was down by the docks, she finally murmured, and I was thinking about the trip back from Britannia.
Gabrielle leaned her head against the warrior's shoulder and circled the bicep with her free hand, nestling closer despite the heat.
Why?
A shrug. Just the sight of the sea, maybe. The ships.
Xena replied.
I don't know. The wagon creaked along, shaking both of them in its rhythm.
You know,
Gabrielle said,
I remember waking up that one night, in the storm.
Xena exhaled.
With you, holding me.
The bard went on, over a slight hitch in her own voice.
And I remember looking up, and seeing your face. Seeing how you'd been crying.
A long pause.
And I realized that there was still love for me, somewhere in your heart.
There was no answer, but Gabrielle could feel the shudder that went through her soulmate's breathing.
What a lifeline that was for me.
There was a slight pressure against her head, and a warmth that trickled through her scalp as Xena leaned her cheek against her.
But you're right. That is in the past, Xena.
She lifted the warrior's hand to her lips and kissed the knuckles.
We made it through that, you and I.
The low murmur rumbled softly. We did. They rested in each other's arms for a bit, and listened to the loud sounds of the city penetrate their dark prison.
So,
Gabrielle went on in a more normal tone of voice.
Mistress.
Definitely a note of very wry humor now.
How are you and I going to get through this little problem?
Xena released a relieved, though weary, chuckle.
I don't know. I figure it out when we get there, she said. So what'd you find at the academy?
What didn't I find out?
The bard sighed.
Let's see. The Bardic Council is a bunch of schemers with more political motivation than a Hessian virgin during the Feast of Bacchus. It looks like Homer was involved in something really convoluted, and I agreed to enter the Great Bard of Athens competition.
Xena felt a distinct shock go through her at the words.
I thought...
She began, then halted, not sure what to say next. I didn't think you were interested in that. She finally went on, in a low murmur.
Well, I mean, I'm not.
Gabrielle frowned, sensing the change in mood.
They asked me to do it.
Who did?
The Bardic Council.
The bard explained.
They think I've got a chance at beating out Celesta, so they asked me to enter so she won't win and take them over.
The dark head cocked to one side, visible even in the darkness. So, they want you to take them over?
No.
Gabrielle felt the cart lurch, and she grabbed Xena in reflex.
They don't want anyone to take them over, and they figure I'll just take off after that,
she said.
Oh.
Xena grimaced as the cart bounced again, jarring her leg unpleasantly. Why don't they just call off the competition? Another bounce, and this time, a hot jolt of pain, the first all day, lanced up her spine. Ugh!
Gabrielle quickly squirmed closer and slid one of her thighs under her partner's injured leg, cushioning it against the hard bottom of the wagon. She stroked the tense skin of Xena's calf, unable in the darkness to see the bandage or the wound under it.
Easy, tiger,
she murmured.
Let's get this over with and get you somewhere where you can rest.
Xena half sighed, half growled.
I'm fine.
The cart jerked to a halt, almost throwing both of them hard against the side. Then they heard boots approaching, and the back of the wagon opened, letting in a brilliant bolt of light and a welcome draft of fresh air.
Out!
The guard captain ordered.
Quickly!
Gabrielle scrambled gladly up the cart and turned, knowing better than to try and help Xena down, but watching anxiously all the same, as the warrior took her time in emerging, pausing in the entrance to survey the surroundings, before she lowered herself to the ground and removed a crutch from the cart. They were inside a walled courtyard, with all the trappings of a guardhouse around them. Fighters stood around, or worked in pairs with weapons nearby, most watching them with idle interest.
Come with me,
the guard captain ordered.
The jail is this way.
Xena reached out and grabbed the back of his tunic, yanking him to a halt.
Hold it!
The man turned around and grabbed the nearest guard's crossbow and turned it on her.
I've lost my patience with you.
Xena reacted instinctively, swiveling her body and using the crutch as a staff, sweeping it around and taking the bow out of his hands in a single rapid motion. It flew over his head and landed on the cobbles, discharging and nearly hitting a nearby soldier. The man jerked towards her. Xena lifted the crutch and glared at him meaningfully.
Shoot her!
He ordered. A guard raised his crossbow and aimed. Gabrielle surged into motion, only to be brought up short by Xena's hollering of her name, in a tone that cut through her conscious mind, and struck solid chords deep within inside her. She obeyed in it from pure instinct, stumbling to a halt as the guard raised his arms and fired. The crossbow mechanism twanged, its coil releasing into the air with an audible buzz, straight toward Xena's unarmored and unprotected belly. With an almost lazy motion, though, the warrior swiped the arrow out of midair, catching it before it had a chance to even graze her tunic. Everything stopped. Even the sparring soldiers froze in motion, all eyes focused on the tall, confident figure standing in their midst. "Want to try another one?" Xena asked in a calm voice as she tossed up the arrow and caught it, twirling it negligently in her fingers. "Or would you rather try something more interesting?" She dropped the coral and flicked her crutch out, snaking it past the guard's captain's defenses and hooking its ends on his sword hilt. A twist of her wrist pulled the sword from its sheath and sent it flying towards her. She caught it, twirling it a neat skill over her arm before she let the blade rest on her shoulder. "Choose," a grin, "and make it quick."
"Great Zeus!"
a tall bearded soldier spoke, his body half hidden behind a storage barrel.
"Mithras! What in the name of Olympus do you mean by dragging Xena in here, in that wagon?"
He emerged and walked towards her.
"You could have gotten the entire squad killed that way!"
Xena allowed a smile to cross her face. "That's all right," she indicated the crutch. "I needed a lift." She extended a hand. "Long time, gents." The tall man took her arm and gripped it.
"Too long, Xena."
He turned his head.
"Gabriel, it's good to see you as well."
Now his eyes went to his captain.
"What's this all about?"
Gabriel relaxed, recognizing the man as one of the outpost soldiers she and Xena had rescued a long time ago from the dangerous, though misunderstood, enemy. Things were looking up. For the moment, anyway. Jen's quarters were roomy and comfortable. Gabrielle sat back in the leather-hide chair and glanced around with interest, half listening to the discussion of battles and war going right on next to her. It wasn't that she wasn't interested, but she knew the details Xena was relating in painful detail, and she wasn't frankly in the mood for reliving them. The fight with Andreas had given her nightmares for months, even with Xena's relatively constant presence, and she pushed a bit of their recent past as far out of her conscious thoughts as possible. Which was bad, she readily acknowledged. It meant she just wasn't dealing with it. But she found out over the years that sometimes putting those kinds of things away for a while let you take them back out after some time had passed and look at them in a different, less painful way. It was what Xena did, in a way, though Gabrielle suspected there wasn't much later reflection on her partner's behalf. If there was something bothering her, she couldn't do anything about it. Couldn't change. Then Xena just dismissed it and went on. Which was why Gabrielle was a little concerned over the deep sense of grief she'd been sensing coming from her partner earlier in the day, especially when she discovered what had caused it. Idly, she turned her head and regarded Xena's profile, now intent and active, as the warrior described the tactics and strategy that had beaten Andrea's army. The year had just passed, had eased the number of lines of strain that had started to characterize her face. And Gabrielle had thought she gained a sense of inner peace, reflected in a certain warmth in her eyes and the ease of her smile. But every once in a while, a scar would show, and the deep, unhealed places that the bard was beginning to fear would never really disappear. It saddened her. She so wanted Xena to be whole, and to see life with the joy she herself had rediscovered. What hurt worst was knowing that she was one of the touchstones of those scars and the cause of much of her beloved partner's pain. Only the knowledge that she was also one of Xena's greatest sources of joy let her accept that. In blind instinct, Gabriel reached out across the space between her and the warrior and curled a hand around Xena's wrist, just wanting the contact. She heard the barely perceptible break in Xena's speech, then felt a returning warmth her hand was covered and held.
"We just heard rumors,"
Jen stated, leaning back in his seat and stippling his fingers.
"Refugees coming into the city. With what we considered wild stories."
"I only wished they were," Xena remarked grimly. "A lot of people died. Two of the villages closest to here said that they sent for help, but no one ever answered." Jens looked uncomfortable. His eyes shifted to the window, then back to Xena's face, then dropped to his hands.
"The city council decided against sending an expeditionary force,"
he finally said.
"They thought it was just another Warlord of the Moon story."
Xena's eyebrows rose. "With that kind of destruction? What are they burning in the Athenium these days?" He shrugged.
"I can't answer that. I'm a soldier, and I do what I'm told."
Xena snorted.
the sound alone conveying more emotion than any words would.
What if we hadn't stopped him?
Gabriel spoke up.
What would you have done if his army ended up on your doorstep, and it was that surrounding villages around Athens that got burned to the ground?
Well, obviously,
Jen started.
Obviously it doesn't matter, because it was just us provincials out in the wilderness, right?
The bard's voice deepened in anger.
Gabriel!
He held up a hand.
It wasn't my choice.
And now those bastards want us to pay them?
Gabriel snapped back.
And send our troops to be your army?
Jens got up and paced back and forth behind his desk.
I agree. It doesn't seem fair,
he said.
But you have to remember, it's the good of the entire area that counts, not just parts.
Out in the sticks, the bard finished. You people are nuts.
Jens looked plaintively at Xena, who lifted one shoulder in a very eloquent shrug. She's right, the warrior stated. Agreed, we have to have a common defense. But it can't be one-way street, Jens. Right now, from where I'm sitting, it's Athens takes and everyone else gives. Xena shook her head. That's why we're here, to make that point with the council. He stared at her.
Then you've got a problem.
Gabriel stood and faced him, the bard's attitude bristling.
You think they won't listen to us?
She challenged him.
I think they can't listen to you,
he replied simply.
They're not in session. They adjourned 2 days ago, for the duration of the games and the summer festival.
Xena and Gabriel exchanged looks. They left Athens? The warrior asked incredulously.
No.
Jen shook his head.
But the council only attends council business when they're in session. They don't hear pleas or arguments otherwise.
But that means they won't be in session until after the new moon,
Gabriel said.
Xena, that's after the deadline they gave us.
The warrior nodded slowly. Convenient. She glanced up at Jens. We're not paying those taxes, and we're not sending conscripts. The soldier frowned.
Xena, I don't think you know what you're saying here. This isn't some backwater wannabe prince you're dealing with. I mean, I know what your experience is, but they're serious about this. They'll send an army after you.
Let 'em, Xena replied with a distinctive touch of insolence. A lot of guys out there wondered what would happen if I'd gone for Athens way back when. An uncomfortable silence fell over them. Jens blinked at her and hesitated, clearly at a loss for words. Finally, he sat back down.
Xena, you're not making sense. No provincial militia can face our army. We both know that.
Maybe. Xena let a slow smile appear. Maybe not.
Xena.
You want to take that chance? The warrior cut him off. Does Athens? Gabriel watched both of them in fascination. On the surface, she knew Jens was right, and what Xena had said was crazy. But as she studied the man's face, she could see the doubt form in furrows over his brow as his military instincts clashed with... Xena chuckled low and deep. Clashed with his knowledge of who and what Xena was. Still was, Gabriel acknowledged, as she watched her partner's body language shift into mode she used when sparring with a not-so-tough opponent. All sexy grin and lightly bared claws.
Well,
Jens backed off meekly.
At any rate, it's a moot point, Xena. The council's not going to listen to you. So what choices do you really have here? Do you really want to cause a war?
There has to be a way to talk to them,
Gabriel interjected.
They can make an exception.
Jens shook his head.
They don't. Trust me. We've been through this a dozen times. This council's especially... They're...
He looked around and lowered his voice.
They're mostly patricians. All they think about is getting more money and more power. This whole games thing, in fact. They put out a notice to all the surrounding provinces that if they sent athletes to the game and one turned out to be the overall winner, they'd rescind the levies for that province.
Blue and gray eyes met.
But they know it's all a sham,
Jens went on.
The best athletes are already here in Athens. It's just to give them fodder to compete against and bring more people into the city to spend money.
So how come the taxman didn't tell us that? Xena asked quietly. About the games. Jen stared puzzledly at her.
They didn't? Oh, I guess because it took him so long to get out there, they figured you'd never... I mean, there wouldn't be time for you to...
They didn't want Xena to come and compete,
Gabrielle remarked placidly.
What a bunch of centaur buttholes.
Jen sighed and indicated the warrior's splinted leg.
Well, it's of no consequence now, I guess,
he said.
I don't know what to tell you, Xena. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think there's any way you can get around this. Why not just pay the levy and talk to the council afterwards?
Xena's face was a study in silent, rapid thought, the tiny muscles on either side of her eyes twitching. Yeah, she stated. Maybe you're right. She turned and met Gabriel's eyes, silencing the emerging protest with a flick of a wink. Well, Jens, I think we need to get going, unless you want to really charge Gabriel here with something. Jens relaxed in his chair.
No,
he said in obvious relief.
If we put her in our jail, we'd end up with far more trouble than it would be worth, if I remember you as well as I think I do, Gabrielle.
The bard looked outraged.
Me?
She put her hands on her hips.
I am not a troublemaker.
Jens and Xena both stared at her.
I'm not,
Gabrielle insisted.
It's not my fault those wagons got in my way. I was walking. Doesn't it mean I had the right of way over them?
Jens considered that.
Legally, yes,
he agreed solemnly.
But not many citizens have the guts to try enforcing that law.
There, the bard said. So I didn't do anything, and it's not my fault.
The soldier sighed. We'll see what we can do about making it up to them, Xena promised, as she hoisted herself to her feet and paused a moment to catch her balance before she felt a crutch in place. Nice talking to you, Jens.
And you, Xena.
The man held out a hand, to a much better mood now.
I'm glad you agree with me. Can we give you a lift somewhere? In something better than a jail wagon?
No. Yes. Gabrielle answered at the same time, seeing the blood drain out of her soulmate's face as the warrior put pressure on her bad leg.
That would be very nice of you. I know I sure could use a ride.
She took hold of Xena's upper arm and ignored the baleful glare she was getting.
It's been a long morning.
They walked out of the barracks and into the hot sunlight, which bounced off the white chalk walls that surrounded them. Xena scowled as it hit the back of her head and intensified the headache she slowly developed, and decided to let the bard win this miniature battle. The arguments she'd mustered to avoid accepting Jen's offer dissipated, and by the time they brought a light, open cart around, she was glad enough to vault into it, and hoped the ride down to the inn didn't upset her stomach much more than it was. Besides, it gave her time to think about her newly changed predicament, and decide on another plan. Trouble was, there weren't many options left to plan for, and the one she had. Xena sighed and rested her chin on the cross piece of the crutch. How many days until the game start? She asked a young soldier sitting next to her.
Two,
he replied with a shy smile.
It's going to be exciting, don't you think?
The blue eyes glinted softly.
Oh, yeah,
Xena replied in a mutter. You can bet on it. Back at the inn, they had more problems. The innkeeper was waiting for them and held up a hand as they went to enter.
Stop!
I'm not in the mood for this, Xena growled.
Shh, let me take care of it.
Gabrielle stepped to one side and faced a woman.
What's wrong?
That one,
she pointed to Xena.
Caused me to lose my best customer this morning, and she stole a boy.
Excuse me?
Gabrielle replied.
You heard me,
the innkeeper griped.
Stole my best boy, and knocked one of the nibbiest of his nibs into a snit, and he said he won't be back here.
She put her hands on ample hips.
Be gone, both of you.
Now look, Gabriel replied calmly. I'm sure this is just a misunderstanding. Xena didn't take anyone, and if she said something to some guy, I'm sure there was a good reason for it.
I don't care. I want you out,
the innkeeper shouted.
You're trouble, nothing but trouble.
Xena had to smile. Despite everything. Come on, Gabrielle. She inclined her head. We can find a better place to stay than some fourth-rate, broken-down whorehouse with lousy food.
And what's wrong with my food?
The woman objected. Xena snorted.
Don't worry. I'll be glad to tell everyone I see just how bad it is.
She turned and started for the table.
Stale bread, bad ale, disgusting.
Hey! I'll not have you saying about my place. You!
the innkeeper yelled after her.
Yeah, you're right, Zena.
Gabrielle played along.
Even the water was bad. I think we'd better warn all the people we know coming up for the games. Stay away from here, that's for sure.
She strolled after Zena. There was silence for a moment. Then the innkeeper rushed after them.
All right. Forget I said it. Just forget about it, okay?
Nope. You want us out. We're leaving.
Gabrielle threw a hand up.
I'll stop by the Academy of Bards and make sure they all know about this place, though. That's for sure.
The woman's eyes almost popped out.
No, wait, hold on. Not those chatterbotics. They have it all over the city. Wait, listen. I'm sorry. I was upset about...
Zena turned and came face to face with her. All pretense dropped, totally serious.
The bastard I yelled at was abusing one of your people. One of your valuable people. You let people like him get away with that. Eventually you won't have anyone working for you. That what you want?
The innkeeper blinked.
No.
Then you should be thanking me, right?
Yes.
You're welcome. Zena turned and limped off. Gabrielle smiled kindly, patted the innkeeper on the arm, and followed. They made it back to the room, and Zena let Gabrielle enter before. Then she closed the door and leaned against it. Closing her eyes as a jolt of pain shot up her spine from the now angrily throbbing knee she could no longer even put the slightest pressure on.
Easy.
Gabrielle's hands were on her in an instant, a gentle, almost hesitant stroking along her upper arm.
Let me help you over to the bed.
It hurt too much to argue. Zena accepted the support, letting the bard slit an arm around her and support her weight across her shoulders until they reached the pallet, and she could drop onto it and simply lean back and let Gabrielle lift her injured leg up.
Damn. I need to change this bandage, see?
Gabrielle stated.
Go ahead.
Zena kept her eyes closed and willed the sharp agony to fade. She could feel the careful pressure and warmth of the bard's fingers against the skin of her leg, and she concentrated on Gabrielle's nearness to distract her. With her eyes closed, her other senses surged forward, and she could hear the faintest whisper as Gabrielle shifted, and the cloth covering her moved along her skin. She could hear the rasp of the bard's soles against the floor, and the soft inhales and exhales of her breathing. The scent of sun-heated skin came to her, along with the hint of the soap they used for their clothes, and the worn leather of Gabrielle's boots. Underlying that was the distinct smell of Gabrielle herself, as familiar to Zena as the lines on the palm of her hand, and she let the combination of sensations lull her into a quiet state of numbness.
Gab?
The
bard's vibrant tones answered.
Sorry about the whole slave thing, Zena said. I just said the first thing that crossed my mind.
She could feel the bandages holding her splint on loosen and debated on opening her eyes.
Hang on.
Gabrielle's voice moved and shifted as the bard stood up and walked across the room. She busied herself for a moment, then returned, and Zena now heard the distinct sloshing of water and the soft tinkle as the bard wrung something out. A moment later, she felt a cool touch against her knee and the harsh sting as the liquid flowed over the wound Gabrielle had sewn up.
It's all swollen,
Gabrielle murmured.
I need to restitch this, sweetheart.
Zena sighed audibly.
Well, you know...
I know, Zena grumbled. If I'd stayed the Hades off of it, it'd heal faster.
She opened one eye a crack and peeked over Gabrielle, expecting to get a look of tolerant understanding from her.
Damn things messed up our whole plan, didn't it?
With the council?
Gabrielle carefully cut the stitches she put in and washed away the blood that emerged from the wound.
Yeah, I guess.
She winced in reflex as she felt the muscles under Zena's skin tighten in reaction to the pain she knew she was causing.
What are we going to do now? I don't think just paying the tax is a good idea, Zena. As much as I respect our militia, I'd rather not have to use them again. On the other hand...
The bard went on, knowing her speech was at least taking Zena's mind off of what she was doing.
I can't stand the thought of giving them what they asked for without a fight. But what choices do we really have?
Gabrielle said.
If the council won't listen to us, and we can't extend a deadline, what else is there?
She didn't really expect Zena to answer, so she was surprised when the low voice spoke up. We enter the games. Gabrielle stopped in mid-motion, one hand holding the ragged skin in place, the other about to put a stitch in to hold it closed.
What?
Zena shrugged one shoulder.
Winner gets to have their taxes excused, right?
But...
So we'll have to win them. Gabrielle put her needle and gut thread down and leaned forward, reaching up to lift one of her partner's eyelids, exposing a clear blue eye, which she peered into intently.
Xena, you're pulling my leg, right?
A slight shake of the warrior's head.
Xena.
The bard rubbed her temples.
You know I love you, and you know there is no one in the world who believes more in you than I do, right?
A faint charmed smile appeared.
But honey, even I have to doubt you could win all those games with a broken leg,
Gabrielle said. That's true, Xena surprisingly agreed, tilting her head and regarding us homie. Foot races would be tough, and some of the hand-to-hand.
Right, exactly,
Gabrielle nodded.
It's just really bad timing. If this hadn't happened, then...
That's where you come in, the warrior interrupted her. Miss Green-Eyed stared at her.
Me?
Sure, Xena said.
Xena, I can't compete against those...
Gabrielle spluttered. Why not? The warrior asked.
Well, I mean...
The bard searched for words.
They've been practicing. That's all they do around here, and they... Xena, for Artemis' sake, I'm not an athlete!
Neither am I.
Oh, stop that! It's different for you, and you know it!
Gabrielle replied crossly. She frowned and went back to her task, visibly upset. Xena regarded her thoughtfully. What's bothering you? She asked. For a while, the bard didn't answer, using the excuse of her meticulous stitching to allow her to gather her thoughts. She was conscious of Xena's eyes on her, but knew the warrior would wait patiently for her to answer until she finished what she was doing. She concentrated on the skin under her fingers, focusing on the tiny wrinkles in it, and avoiding the worst of the angry, red areas as she carefully put the pieces back together. How could Xena even been thinking about entering a competition herself, with this injury? Her mind knew the answer, though, because Xena would do whatever she had to achieve her objective. If that meant brutalizing her own body, then she'd do it if she thought the goal was important enough. Was it? Gabrielle didn't think the taxes were. That was only coinage, and it wasn't worth, in her opinion, putting her beloved partner through any kind of agony. The levies were more troubling, though. But really, what kind of chance did they have anyway? The people she had seen so far who were competing seemed to be well-trained and well-conditioned. Would entering even be worth it? Gabrielle heard a soft exhale, and she glanced to her left to see the look of unguarded, weary pain on her partner's face for just an instant. She closed her own eyes and let her hands rest on Xena's leg, and acknowledged a feeling of quiet shame that twisted in her guts. If Xena thought it was important enough to put herself through the pain she knew she'd have to, then what the Hades was she, Gabrielle, doing griping about helping her? She gently put the bandage back on Xena's leg, tightening the bindings to hold the limb straight, and arranged the furs to make her partner a little more comfortable. Then she set her things aside and sat down on the ground next to the pallet, resting her elbows on top of it, taking Xena's hand in her own. She looked at their linked fingers, then lifted her head and met Xena's patiently waiting gaze. They looked at each other in soul-to-soul understanding.
What is bothering me?
Gabrielle asked.
The thought of failing,
Xena answered with quiet certainty. Gabrielle's lips pursed, and a tiny smile appeared.
You taught me to win, Xena. I don't like losing anymore,
she admitted.
Yeah, I don't want to go out there and make a jerk of myself.
You won't, the warrior replied. I might, on the other hand. She remarked, glancing wryly at her leg. But I think we've got to try at least. A sigh.
We're nuts.
Probably. Xena smiled at her and put a hand on the bard's shoulder, giving a gentle squeeze. We've just got to give it our best shot. Gabrielle traced a fingertip over the swollen skin she just stitched.
Xena, no one is more aware of your ability to go forward, even when you shouldn't be able to, than I am. But is there any real advantage to you risking your health like this?
Now it was Xena's turn to fall into silent reflection.
I know it could mean us having to pay, and maybe we'd have to work something out about the levies. But you know something, partner?
Gabrielle went on.
I think I'd rather deal with that than knowing you were hurting yourself worse.
She paused, her brow creasing a little.
Maybe I'm just getting selfish in my old age.
Xena snorted in laughter, chuckles emerging in pure reflex. Tell you what, the warrior said. Let's sign up for the damn things, and when it's time, if I think the only thing I'll be gaining by entering is a permanent limp, I'll back out. Gabrielle just looked at her.
I will, Zena stated, honestly. The miscreant eyes kept up their steady stare. I promise.
Zena's voice dropped a little, and gentled.
Gabrielle scowled a little, but lifted her hands and kissed Zena's fingers. She knew in her heart that her partner's competitive spirit wouldn't allow her to back down, not in this lifetime or any other. But arguing about it seemed to have no real point. The heat seemed to get to her then, and she felt suddenly very tired. She closed her eyes and leaned her head against Zena's side, feeling the warrior shift and slide her hand around the back of her neck to scratch it gently.
Gabrielle murmured.
Know what I hate the worst about this room?
No. What? Zena replied.
Bed's too small.
Zena eyed the pale head, nestled against her hip, then reviewed the problem. With a slight frown, she shifted and rolled over, letting her body lean against the cool surface of the wall. Then she tugged on a lock of the bard's hair and indicated the small but almost adequate space by her side. Gabrielle opened her mouth to protest, then decided a little nap wasn't a bad idea. She crawled up onto the pallet and settled against Zena's body, winding her limbs carefully around the soulmate and letting out a long, heartfelt sigh. It was very warm, and they were both sweaty, but the comfort of touch was worth it. At the edges of hearing, she thought she heard voices and yelling, but when she concentrated it, it faded in and out.
You hear anything?
Yeah,
Zena mumbled. The market fight, probably.
Yeah, nothing to do with us for a change.
Yeah.
Zena forced her eyes open what seemed like 100 times, refusing to let sleep take her over. As much as her body wanted to, the uncertainty of their situation kept her awake, as her senses tried to keep track of their surroundings. The noises outside had settled down, and the heat had intensified. Zena could feel sweat dripping off her brow, and the discomfort of her leg, combined with that, was giving her an upset stomach. She gave the soundly napping Gabrielle an envious look, then tilted her head back and let her eyes close again as she tried to will away the ache. Maybe she was crazy. Zena had to acknowledge the possibility, given in her current condition. Did she really think she could ignore the damage to her body enough to compete, much less win in any of the games? The warrior opened her eyes and regarded the smoke-stained ceiling thoughtfully. In the javelin and discus, she had a chance. Though getting off a good throw this off-balance was going to be tough. She also hadn't done anything like it in years, not since her old days, when she first started army, when they played the games to toughen up and keep fit between battles. Archery, she was more sure of. She'd done that recently, and knew herself to be more than a decent shot. The races were out, though. She'd have to leave to Gabrielle. Zena's eyes shifted to study the form curled tightly against hers. The bard hadn't been more than active enough over the last year to keep her slim figure, but the security of being off the road had softened her, bringing a touch of youthful roundness back to her face, and a layer of flesh to cover bone and muscle. She reminded Zena more of the young girl who had started traveling with her in the first place, and seeing that change had brought home just how hard Gabrielle had been pushing herself during the dark years since. It was beautiful. Zena rested her cheek against the blonde head tucked into her shoulder. It was like being given a second chance, where the first had gone so badly wrong in one of the darkest times of her life, this erasing some of the marks of time from her soulmate's body, and she didn't regret it. Even if it meant Gabrielle would have to really work to have an even a chance at placing in the games. Zena rubbed her thumb against the bard's shoulder, and that only, really, in the sprints which Gabrielle excelled at, her short, powerful stride, flinging her head quickly, more even so than Zena herself. The marathons, on the other hand, were more suited to her own style of running and her habit of conditioning her body to expend low amounts of energy over the long haul. However, Zena sighed, even she couldn't manage a marathon with a broken kneecap, no matter how she tried, so it was up to Gabrielle to do the best she could. Quarterstaff, Gabrielle could and would hold her own, no question there. Wrestling, the warrior scowled. The bard was too small, really, to have a chance against the hulking brute she'd probably be facing, no matter how good her technique. That Zena would have to manage. Somehow. Somehow. And the boxing. God, the warrior chewed her lip. She really was nuts. There was no way she could do this. She was crazy even to think about it. They'd just have to find another way. Maybe she could contact some of the council. Maybe Jens would tell her where they lived and she could... You could what, Zena? Her conscience mocked her.
Go visit them and then what? Put them up against the wall if they don't listen? Threaten them and get tossed in jail? A feeling of relative helplessness was galling. She felt her pulse pick up as her body sensed a threat and wanted to deal with it, with her fingers flexed slightly as though wanting her sword hilt inside him.
Honey,
Gabrielle mumbled softly, her breath warmed against Xena's already warm skin. Xena grunted.
What's wrong?
A sigh. I was just thinking.
About how crazy this is all? About how crazy this all is?
Yeah.
Does that mean we're not going to try?
Xena gazed at the ceiling in silence, until she felt Gabrielle shift and lift her head. Then she tilted her chin and looked down into the sleepy, miscreant eyes, about to answer when a wave of nausea struck her. She grimaced and clamped her jaw down in tight and reflex, surprised at the suddenness of the attack and its severity.
Z!
Gabrielle woke up fast, recognizing the symptoms and the greenish tinge to her partner's face.
Hang on. Let me... Wait, do you still have some of...
She rolled off the pallet, still a little uncoordinated from sleep, and stumbled over to their bags, pawing aside Xena's as she raked the disheveled hair out of her eyes.
Gods, where's... Ah!
She pulled the healer's kit out and shook the herb pouch loose, searching its contents.
I don't think you're...
She turned at the slight groan to see the warrior clutching the edge of the bed, her knuckles white with tension. Their eyes met, and Gabrielle dropped the pouch, grabbing the now empty water basin and reaching the bedside just in time as Xena lost her battle with her stomach and retched violently.
Easy.
Gabrielle gripped her shoulders until she finished, worrying about the ferocity of this illness and the stark paleness of Xena's skin. Her head was pounding so hard, she could see flashes behind her closed eyelids. Xena took a cautious breath, then let it out, profoundly relieved when her insides didn't convulse again.
Wow,
she whispered.
Where in the Hades did that come from?
Gabrielle retrieved the still damp cloth near the bed and wiped Xena's forehead, and then her face with it.
Haven't seen you like this since I was pregnant with Dory.
Xena glanced at her in mild apprehension.
Just had my cycles, hun.
The bard smiled.
Remember?
Xena nodded, giving her weary smile in return. Yeah, that's right. She cautiously let herself back down onto the pillow, stretching out her body with care. Herbs yesterday, maybe, she muttered, or whatever I had for lunch. Gabrielle got up and dumped the contents of the basin in the middens channel, then rinsed it out with other pitcher nearby. Having children, she discovered, made you almost immune to grossing out over body functions of any kind, and she had to smile, remembering the first time she'd ever been sick this way after joining Xena. The swirl of the marketplace, usually so enticed her, seemed to brush against her nerves, making her stomach churn, as the strong smells and the laughter buffeted her senses. Gabrielle swallowed and made her way through the crowd, following Xena's tall form as they headed through the town on their way down to the road to Thessaly. It had been a rough week for both of them. Too many fights, and too many bad choices. Too many. Gabrielle rubbed the back of her aching neck, stiff from their night sleeping on a pile of granite slip. A landslide had woken them, put Xena in a rotten mood, and the day had just gone downhill from there.
Want some lunch?
Xena had asked, tossing the casual question over her shoulder, caringly and not expecting an answer to such an obvious, to her, question. The thought of eating suddenly was extremely distasteful.
Not right now. Thanks.
Gabrielle had answered, continuing to walk, and ended up plowing right into Xena's back, bumping her nose into the warrior's sword sheath.
Oh!
She bounced back and almost lost her footing. Xena had turned and peered down at her, one dark eyebrow lifted skyward in an expression of extreme belief.
What?
Gabrielle had laid a hand over her bare stomach.
Just not hungry, I guess. Maybe it's that spice they're using over there. Smells weird, doesn't it?
Xena hadn't looked convinced, but she just shrugged, and they'd gone on, moving through the small town and out the other side, traveling side by side down the dirt path that led through a stand of tall, thickly leafed trees, whose leaves chuckled lightly in the wind.
Thanks for asking,
the bard murmured, knowing from the stiffening of Xena's back that she heard her. She shook her head and followed along, scuffing her boots against the road's loose surface as they walked along in silence. They'd been more than usually prickly with each other lately, and Gabrielle had found herself caught between annoyance at her grumpy companion and a growing, confusing fascination with her. She'd also begun to notice a feeling of odd shyness whenever Xena looked at her, or was near her, or...
The bard grimaced as her stomach churned in upset. Gabrielle had hoped the fresh air would help. Instead, she started feeling worse and worse, until the chills were running down her back, and she realized she was shivering. She reached out one hand to steady herself against Argo's side, just for a moment, intending to catch her breath and keep going. But Xena's eyes had caught the motion, and the warrior turned to look at her.
"Gabrielle!"
The warrior's voice had sharpened, and she'd stopped, waiting for the bard and horse to catch up to her.
"What's wrong?"
Nothing.
Gabrielle had suddenly shaken her head.
"I'm fine. I'm fine. It's okay. I just need a drink of water."
She'd taken the water skin from Margot's back and uncapped it, lifting it to her lips and taking a sip of the sun-warmed liquid.
Oh, bad mistake.
Very bad mistake. She had only just swallowed it when she felt her insides twist, and she barely got the cover back on the wineskin before she was dropping to her knees, spewing helplessly. Xena grabbed her as she fell in pure reflex and bit on the receiving end of the contents of the bard's stomach. Gabrielle sagged in her arms, aware mostly of being sickeningly nauseous, and also embarrassed. She could hardly breathe.
Sorry. Oh, God.
She apologized weakly.
Let me tell.
Gabrielle.
No, wait.
Gabrielle. Mortified, Gabrielle tried to get her bag off Argo's back, but her knees had buckled, and she suddenly found the world spinning around her, the vertigo causing her suffering body to rebel with startling violence as she clutched her middle reaction.
Gabrielle!
Xena's bark made her freeze.
Would you hold still?
She was a mess. Xena was a mess. Gabrielle couldn't even bear to look up at the warrior. She could only grimace at the smell of sickness and wish fervently to be anywhere else but where she was. The next thing she knew, she was being thrown up on Argo's back, with Xena climbing up behind her and taking hold of her as she urged the mare forward. Things had gotten fuzzy after that. The fever that had made her shiver took over, and she thought she remembered stopping and water, but little else until she opened her eyes an unknown time later to see darkness above her, the friendly crackle of the fire nearby, the smell of clean, sun-dried cotton draped around her. Nearby, Argo stood, her tack removed and lying over a low tree branch. Alongside it were her clothes and Xena's leathers, visibly damp and moving gently in the breeze. A soft clanking had alerted her, and she turned her head towards a low, sloping green to see Xena climb up, dressed in a light shift, carrying her newly washed armor. Oh, God.
Gabrielle remembered thinking.
Now I've done it. Look at all the trouble I've put her through. The mess. I threw up on her. I did worse. Ugh. Her face had reddened. Next stop, Po de Dia. She let her eyes close and exhaled, releasing a soft, disappointed breath. Slowly, footsteps approached. She heard a soft clank as Xena dropped her armor, then the rustle of boots against pine needles as a warrior approached and knelt down next to her. She couldn't open her eyes, couldn't face Xena, who hadn't asked her to tag along, and have someone she had to take care of for. Gabrielle had stopped, as the thought penetrated, for a year. And then, a hand had touched her face and her eyes had floated open in pure surprise, to see Xena gravely gazing back at her.
I'm sorry,
the bard had stammered, softly looking of Xena's shoulder to the laundry.
So much trouble.
She tried to get up, forcing her aching body to move, but found herself stopped in mid-motion and pressed back down.
Hey.
Xena had kept the hand on her shoulder until she was sure the bard would stay still.
Stop that. You'll just get sick again. Lay down.
But...
Stubborn to the core, Gabrielle tried to get up, pushing against the hand lying firmly on her shoulder.
I'm okay. Really.
Gabrielle.
Xena's voice had unexpectedly gentled and softened.
You've been sick and out of your mind all day. Would you just lay down?
All day. Gabrielle had gazed in confusion at the sky, remembering it had just been lunchtime. Just
all day.
She put her head back down.
Sorry.
For what? Xena had asked, pushing her hair back at her eyes. You didn't get sick on purpose, did you? The touch almost made her forget how bad she felt. She gazed dumbly back at Xena, as those long fingers traced along her skin, wondering it was the fever causing the chills chasing up and down her spine.
Did ya?
Xena asked again, quiet affection coloring her voice, as she let her hand drop down to rub the bard's belly under its covering of light cloth.
No,
Gabrielle had answered, hardly able to control her breathing.
But I got you all messed up.
She reached out daringly, and fingered the fabric laying across Xena's thigh, entertaining the bizarre thought that maybe being sick once in a while was sort of worth it if it got her this kind of attention. Then she was embarrassed about thinking that. It was so confusing. Bazina's touch felt so... She felt an unexpected tear roll down her face as the emotions welled up inside her. Hey! The fingertip wiped the tear off. Then she felt Zina's hand cup her cheek again, and she drew in a shaky breath, daring to open her eyes and look up.
Thanks for taking care of me,
she whispered, not understanding why it was so suddenly important to her that Zina had. Shadowed in the firelight behind them still, Zina's smile was visible.
You can always count on me to do that, Gabrielle, the warrior had said, very simply. Who else is there for me to take care of?
She had no idea why she had started crying. The tears just came out of her, rolling down her face as her chest caught in a sob, and her hands reached for the warrior, needing something, craving it so badly she... Ah. Zina's arms had closed around her, pulling her into a hug, feeling the need with a sense of completeness she only comprehended much, much later. Her fevered mind had simply accepted in that moment what her heart and soul were telling her, that she'd come home, in the strangest of times, and the oddest of places. Had Zina known? Gabrielle had no idea. No way to find out as she was rocked back to sleep, with a shepherd's lullaby in her ears, accepting this moment of unlooked-for peace in the most chaotic of worlds.
Sorry.
Zina apologized as she returned with a cold cloth to lay over the warrior's head.
For what?
Gabrielle smiled in memory.
You didn't get sick on purpose, did you?
Zina's head cocked to one side, and she lifted her lip in a half-grin.
No.
She shook her head as the bard wiped her face in the cloth and stroked her cheek tenderly.
Thanks for taking care of me.
Big smile.
You can always count on me to do that, Zina,
Gabrielle told her.
Who else is there for me to take care of?
A little puzzled, Zina thought a moment.
Dory, she said.
You take a lot more taking care of than she does.
The bard leaned over and kissed her on her nose.
And I love you very much.
She put her arms around Zina and hugged her. Zina returned the hug, still a little confused, but not unhappy.
I love you too, sweetheart.
She murmured as a breeze brought her a faint laugh she could feel coming out of Gabrielle's chest.
Let's decide about the games tomorrow. Maybe we'll get lucky and something will happen.
Okay.
Gabrielle agreed. Maybe something would happen. She felt a strong body shift in her arms, but they were already very lucky. After a moment, she released Zina, then settled her back down on the pallet and perched on the end of it.
Tell you what.
She smoothed the warrior's damp hair back, feeling as disheveled and sticky as Zina looked.
Why don't you get some rest? I'll go grab us some juice and something nice and bland, okay?
She dropped a hand on her partner's belly and rubbed it gently as Zina regarded her with bloodshot eyes.
You're such a good mom.
Zina remarked unexpectedly. It hit an unexpected spot, and Gabrielle had to drop her eyes, finding the lace on Zina's shift to focus on.
So are you,
she murmured, blinking a tear out before she lifted her head again.
But then, I knew that.
Zina had tangled her fingers around the bards.
Yeah,
she responded with a touch of sadness.
I knew you were too.
They studied each other a bit, acknowledging the ghost between them that at some level would always be there. Gabrielle reached out and brushed the backs of her fingers across Zina's cheek in silent comfort, and felt strong fingers clasp her knee in return.
Boy,
she consciously tried to lighten the atmosphere.
We're maudlin today, huh?
Zina smiled in response.
Yeah, maybe it's the heat. A sigh. Gods, I feel lousy.
She went on, grimacing a little as her stomach twisted again.
I don't know what the Hades is going on with me.
Gabrielle laid a hand on her forehead and winced.
Ah.
She could feel the warmth, far more even than the warm air of the room would have helped for. Zina groaned, seeing her expression. A curse escaped from her lips, and she felt a wave of frustration at herself, at the heat, at the weakness of her body, at the pain in her leg.
Son of a Buckeye!
She growled loudly. Gabrielle sighed. It wasn't turning out to be a nice trip for a soulmate, was it? If there was one thing Zina hated worse than being hurt, it was being sick, especially a stomach sickness.
Take it easy, Zina.
She rubbed the warrior's belly again, cautiously.
What can I give you? I remembered that crushed mint infusion you gave me last time I was sick. You want that?
I have to run out and get some fresh leaves.
The warrior glowered grumpily at her.
Damn city, she complained. Every time we hit a big one of us gets sick from all the garbage.
True. Mm-hmm.
Too many people. Too much trash.
Uh-huh.
Gabrielle kept up the gentle rubbing, seeing the minute shifts of the muscle across Zena's shoulders as she relaxed.
I know.
A pout. You're humoring me.
Of course I am.
Gabrielle set her thoughts in order.
You think I want you to feel even worse than you do? Just try to rest, honey. I'll be right back.
She got up and retrieved the mug, filling it with cool water and setting it beside the bed,
in case you feel like trying to keep that down.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Gabrielle patted her cheek.
Hang in there, tiger.
She turned and picked up her small shoulder bag and made her way out of the room, closing the door carefully behind her. Her mind was churning over the newest complication as she walked down the narrow hallway, stopping short as she almost crashed into a slim, blonde form that darted out of the kitchen.
Oh,
she held up a hand.
Micah?
He stopped, facing away from her.
Yes?
Her head cocked slightly, catching an odd tone in his voice. Are you busy? Can I talk to you a minute? I'd like to ask you a favor.
Of course. What is it?
He didn't turn.
I'm glad you're back safely. I was concerned.
Well, Zena worked things out like she usually does, Gabrielle said.
She edged past him and put her hand on his shoulder.
Is everything all right?
Slowly he turned towards her, and her eyes widened as her body straightened in pure reflect. A huge, multi-lit bruise covered half his face, and his lower lip was split in two places and swollen.
Good gods, what happened to you?
Pale eyes met her.
I fell, Micah said softly. An accident in the marketplace.
Gabrielle searched his face, feeling the line of words.
Yeah,
she murmured.
I used to fall a lot, too.
He lifted his gaze a little, and he gazed wearily at her, perhaps sensing the double meaning.
What did you want to ask me?
Guessing she wasn't going to get much out of him, Gabrielle pursed her lips.
Thank you for helping Zena out today. I really appreciate it.
She altered her tack a little. He relaxed a tad.
It was my pleasure,
Micah asked.
She's a very special person.
Gabrielle gave him a big, very pleased smile on hearing that.
I certainly think so, she agreed. I'm glad you do, too.
He smiled back, as best he could with the damage to his face.
Did she get back all right, too?
Ah, not exactly, Gabrielle sighed. She's not in really good shape at the moment.
I beg to honorably disagree with my lady,
Micah rasped, with rakish courtesy. The bard's eyes twinkled.
That's not what I meant, unfortunately. She's not feeling well. Some kind of bug she picked up.
Ah,
he nodded.
Is there anything I can do for her?
Do you have any broth?
Gabrielle asked.
Just something very plain. I'm going to run out to the marketplace and pick up some herbs.
Yes, we do,
Micah nodded.
I'll get some. I'm working kitchen duty tonight because I...
His hand drifted towards his face as he glanced towards the big room.
Anyway, I'll bring it to her.
He hesitated, then cleared his throat a touch.
You're Gabrielle the Bard, aren't you?
They hadn't been introduced earlier, she realized.
Yes, I am.
Gabrielle agreed, gravely, watching his eyes study her.
Why?
I just wondered,
Micah said.
You're a lot younger than I thought you'd be.
The bard wasn't sure if it was a compliment or not, but she decided to take it as one.
Thank you.
She grinned at him.
I'll be right back.
She turned to go, then paused.
Oh, Micah.
Yes.
Before you go in the room, knock.
Gabrielle said in a serious tone.
She's really not feeling well, and when she's sick, sometimes she reacts first and asks questions later.
Okay.
He frowned.
But...
Trust me.
Gabrielle put a friendly hand on his arm and leaned closer, lowering her voice.
And if she asks you what happened to your face, don't lie.
Micah stood, staring up to the slim, blonde figure now moving away from him, down towards the hall and the outer door. He reached up and touched the side of his head, then exhaled and disappeared into the kitchen. Zena gazed mournfully at the ceiling, trying not to think about how miserable she was. Despite the heat, she felt chilled, so she drawn up one of the furs over her, and wondered if this wasn't her body's way of enforcing its own healing.
It made sense in a perverse way. Given her own inclination, she'd never lie still long enough for her leg to knit properly, and she knew it, so maybe this was fate's way of making it happen despite her. Her throat felt dry, but she didn't want to change the water, wanting her pounding headache to settle down before she tempted her stomach back to open revolt. It wasn't far from it, anyway. She could feel the churning and the nausea, and indulged herself in a childish wish that Gabrielle was back at her side. Not that the bard could cure her. Though the herb she was going after might help a little, it just... Xena sighed and fingered the edge of the furs. She just felt better with the bard around. That was all. A chill snuck over her and she shivered, startled at the sudden onset of the illness and wondering what in the Hades it was. She pulled the furs more closely around her and tried to get a little more comfortable. It didn't help. The warrior gave up and just rolled her head to one side, watching the changing pattern of the light coming in the high window, listening to the sounds from the world outside. She could hear carts rolling by, and a sudden angry shout of a driver, as someone got in his way. Xena hoped fervently that it wasn't Gabrielle, as she heard the shift and scrape of something being hit, and she could only just keep herself from scrambling out of the bed to go see. Her stomach rose, and she clamped her jaw down, swallowing the bile with intense concentration. One hand reached out to grip the side of the bed, squeezing down hard until she felt the wood dent under her fingers. Thankfully, the spasm passed, as she went limp against the furs, closing her eyes and taking a careful breath. And then she heard footsteps outside, light, but not Gabrielle's, missing the distinctive rhythm of the bard's pace. These had a male sound, perceptive to her very sensitive ears, a light hitch and motion men had that women didn't, due to their bodily differences. Xena willed them to move on, though she knew her cornered room didn't pass much traffic. With how she felt, any intruder was either very bad trouble or in very bad trouble, depending on how much she thought she could control the chakra Gabby had left nestled next to her hand. The steps paused outside the door and fell silent, and Xena cursed in sibilant, whispered tones. She curled her fingers around a whip and waited, swallowing hard again to settle her rebellious insides. A soft knock broke the quiet. Xena glared evilly at the door, and wondered what would happen if the sunk her chakram into it, the sharp weapon more than capable of protruding its edge through the other side. Would it prevent another knock? She hefted the metal circle and plotted an angle. Another knock. Xena eased herself up on her elbow and cocked her arm, whipping it forward and releasing the chakram with a snap of her wrist. The weapon whirled through the air and hit the door with a very loud bang, sinking half into its width with the wood and quivering. There was deadly silence outside the door, then a tremendous crash and the sound of running feet. Xena settled back into her sweat-drenched furs with a contented grunt and folded her hands over her stomach, letting her eyes half close as another round of shivers passed over her body. To be continued. Well, that concludes episode 84 of XNU, and also that is part 5 of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Please check out her webpage over at merewolf.com. I have a link on my show notes for that. Also, if you have any ideas or suggestions for the 100th episode, please send them in as we're getting closer and closer, as you can see, on 84. So far, I've gotten a few good ideas, such as one for all the listeners to write a short story, and I'll read through them, and then the one that has the winning story will have hers read on the show. Another one is to see if I can get Lucy or Renee to say hello on the show. And so far that's it, but if you do have any ideas or suggestions for the show for the 100th episode, whether it be games or a contest or any idea, just go ahead. Nothing's too far-fetched. Send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. Send me also story suggestions, movie suggestions, song snippets, or song dedications, any announcements, birthdays, weddings, commitments, ceremonies, births, anything like that, at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.
And no one else has ever shown me how to see the world the way I see it now. Oh, I never saw blue like that before. rivers of blue.